Our Bible reading is from Matthew 11, and we're reading from verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen.
And ready for the journey of a lifetime. And you get to the airport and you go up to the check-in desk and you pretend it's really light, you know, dead easy this case, and you set it on the little conveyor belt, and some kind person at the check-in desk says, "I'm sorry, Mr. Brock, overweight. I think it's personal." But he just meant the case. "No problem. How much do you want me to pay for excess baggage?" "Sorry, Mr. Brock, the plane's completely full today. We're on the weight limit. You got excess baggage. You're going to have to take something out of the case and leave it out." "No problem. 6 pairs of Barbara shoes." "Why you need gold trainers at 73 years of age, I'm not sure. But you leave the excess baggage out and you're free to carry on your holiday. During today and the next 3 weeks, our theme is about the excess baggage we have in our lives as human beings that God says you need to leave it out. You need to unpack that stuff and be rid of it once and for all. God is enthusiastic about his people being free from unnecessary burdens in this life. We have enough burdens that he wants us to carry without carrying the excess baggage. Start by thinking, first of all, this morning of the concern that Jesus had. One of the interesting things in the Gospels, how often we have a record of Jesus seeing people around him and showing how moved and compassionate he was towards them. Earlier in Matthew's Gospel, he looks at the crowd and he's moved with compassion, for he sees them like sheep without a shepherd. The very religious leaders who are supposed to be shepherding and pastoring God's people were failing in the task. Here, in the words of Matthew 11, he sees them as weary and heavy laden. What's on his mind? I don't think he has in mind those farmers who've been out in the fields all morning and are a bit tired physically. I don't think he has in mind those parents whose kiddies finished school on Friday and kept them up late last night and can hardly keep their eyes open this morning. My heart goes out to you. The Message paraphrase of this verse is very helpful. It reads this way: "Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion?" And that's the heart of Christ's concern as he looks out upon the people around him. They're weary and heavy laden by the religious customs and the religious culture and the religious rules and religious regulations that they're being asked to bear. Every rabbi in Judaism had their own set of rules, which they claimed were the right way of keeping God's law. The process had gone on for centuries, and some of these rabbis had books and whole libraries of their rules and regulations for how to keep God's law. One of the major issues was how to keep the Sabbath day holy. And they took that command and they decided what constituted work on the Sabbath day. There's a rule which says you may not walk a straight line more than 3,161.74 feet, that's a translation from cubits, in any direction outside the city limits. If you walked more than that, you're working and breaking the Sabbath law. Or on Shabbat, there are 39 forbidden activities, and one is to carry any item a distance of 4 cubits, that's about 6 feet, within a public domain. If you carry any more than that, then you've broken the Sabbath. They had rules about how you washed your dishes, what way your food is cooked, and they insisted that fish was to be eaten on Fridays. It's not a new thing. Their rules covered every part of life, books and books and books of rules. And ordinary folk were weighed down and burdened by that. They couldn't read those books of rules. They couldn't understand those books of rules. They couldn't remember those books of rules. They didn't have access to them to know what they were. And yet every rabbi was saying, if you love God and you want to serve God and you want to please God and you want to be holy people, then this is what you need to do. And that's just the Sabbath rules, let alone all the rest. Jesus and his disciples had been criticized by the religious rulers for breaking some of the Sabbath rules. Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field one day, and it was a Sabbath day, and his disciples picked off some of the corn that was growing in the field and ate it. And the rabbis were furious. You're breaking the Sabbath. Your disciples have picked corn, and that's work. So they've broken the Sabbath day. They're not pleasing to God. Jesus and disciples were criticized for not doing the ceremonial washing of hands that the rabbis demanded. You were to keep yourself pure. What does that mean? Well, it means that if you've been out in the market and you rub shoulders with non-Jewish Gentile people, then ceremonially you're unclean. So as you come in the house, you must wash your hands. It's not a COVID thing. It's not a hygiene thing. It's not a health thing. It's a religious practice. You must keep the religious formalities of Judaism. Ordinary folk, totally overwhelmed, trying to keep these endless lists of rules. A number of years ago, I was going on a Baptist missions trip to South Peru, and I had my much bigger case packed. And I arrived at the check-in desk and I was told that it was about 38 kilos, well overweight. But there was a kind person on the desk and they let me through. You might say, what on earth was in that case that weighed so much? Well, I had been asked to take out CB radios, transmitters and receivers so the missionaries could talk to each other up in the Andes Mountains. I've been asked to carry out some heavy theological tomes for John Brew. I've been asked to take out an 8mm movie camera system to film the Baptist youth camps down in Ilo. I've been asked to carry out some birthday presents for the missionaries' children. I was even carrying out large quantities, even for me, of Cadbury's Dairy Milk chocolate. Because I was told that the poor missionaries in Peru can't get it. So please take Cadbury's Milk chocolate with you. In short, most of what was in that case was other people's stuff. What I actually needed to carry out for myself at that moment in time was probably about 8 kilos. All the rest was what other people expected me to carry for them. I think it's a pretty good description of what Jesus is getting at here. He saw people weary and heavy laden, not with the ordinary things of life, but trying to carry other people's stuff. Things that sounded like God's instructions, but were actually human additions to God's word. And it is still happening today. Came across this one in modern day Judaism as a result of COVID. And it reads like this, I'll quote it word for word. Regarding heat measurement, that's when you come to the door of a church or a public building and somebody has to flick an electronic thermometer at your head to see whether you have a fever or not. Regarding heat measurement that is done to enter the gates of hospitals and public places such as guest houses, etc., there are concerns about the prohibition of work on Shabbat, Sabbath, in both the heat measurement and the writing generated by the monitor. There is therefore prohibition, both when the heat measurement is done manually by the guard at the entrance, as well as where there is a thermal camera system that detects all comers and their image and degree of heat are displayed on a screen. Is there something in human nature, something in religious human nature, that thinks we've got to spell out every last detail and make sure that people keep our rules and regulations? And if the young people listen carefully, in Judaism today, the use of social media is banned on Sabbath day. Well, our evangelical circles are obviously not tainted with any of that kind of stuff, are they? Or are they? I think if you took a quick survey of all of us and our upbringing and our background, we find there'd be customs and rules on Sunday keeping, on dress codes, on dietary rules, on entertainment regulations, on rules about how you pray and where you pray and what you pray, rules about giving, rules about eating sweets in church on Sunday. I remember as a teenager, my pastor stopped halfway through a sermon, fixed his eyes on somebody near the back and said, "This is the Lord's house. Will you please put those sweets away?" Carry on if you've got chocolate with you today. Human man-made regulations that sound as though they have a bit of scripture, a bit of godliness in them, but a pure man-made stuff. Barbara and I listened to a sermon in a strict Baptist church in England one September when we were on holiday, and the whole sermon was on why we shouldn't buy Royal Mail Christmas stamps that year. That's powerful stuff, isn't it? That does your heart good. Warms the cockles of your heart. No, it doesn't. It weighs people down. It leaves people weary and heavy laden. And sometimes, if we're honest, those man-made religious rituals and rules prevent folk coming to faith. Maybe you're here today and the prospect of coming to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord for yourself has this huge barrier in your mind. I couldn't know all the rules that I'm expected to keep, and I couldn't keep them even if I knew them. And that was the concern that Jesus had. Secondly, the redirection Jesus gives, in those simple words and been echoed in our songs this morning, come, says Jesus, come to me. So long as they keep listening to the voices of the religious experts, those folk will stay troubled. And so the message of Jesus then to those people, as it is to us today, is don't go to the religious pundits. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A couple of things about that baggage before we talk a bit more about it. Interestingly, in this section, Jesus is talking about things which are not essentially evil or sinful themselves. Lindsay will be on next week, and he knows much more about the sinful things than I would. So I'll leave him to do that one. But I think it's actually critical to see that in this section, the things that Jesus has in his mind are not essentially evil or harmful in themselves. And secondly, the practices sound like things that maybe God would be pleased with. You don't listen to the religious pundits making these man-made rules that, oh, God wouldn't have any truck with that at all. The things sound as though they're legitimate, and at the very least, they won't do you any harm. And so that combination of those two things that make this issue so critical and so dangerous. Legalism kills. There's a bit of us that can say, well, I don't really think that rule's valid, but sure, what's the odds? Does no harm to keep it and keep the peace. I know I don't have to wear Sunday best to church anymore. That rule's gone. But if I go somewhere else and they all wear hats and coats and ties and all the rest, sure, it'll do no harm to just go with the flow, do what everybody else does. Keep the man-made rule. Keep the peace. I know that when I come to pray, I don't have to use thee and thou and flowery language, kind of spiritual sounding language to pray. But it doesn't harm to keep the tradition, does it? I know I don't have to eat fish on Friday and avoid meat on Friday, but sure, McDonald's do a Filet-O-Fish, and they're not that bad. Unless you're a vegetarian or an anti-McDonald's person, but you get the drift. We can look at the rules and say, well, they're not that bad. I know they're not God-breathed, God-authorized things, but they're not that bad. And why don't we just go along and keep the peace and go along with them? I met someone in the gym recently and who's not a Christian, was chatting about their father, who was brought up to be a fish only, no meat person on Fridays. And he entered the airline industry, and he went over regularly from Belfast to London on the flights. And he discovered after a while that his co-religionists in London could eat meat on Friday and didn't have to eat fish. And the family were left wondering, where in the air is the Irish sea border that marks the difference between eating fish being legally required in one place and not required in the other? A laugh. But how close to the reality is that of many people's lives weighed down trying to keep the rules and regulations because it makes for an easy life. And of course it does nothing of the sort. How would Jesus have reacted? It's very interesting that in this passage and in several others that follow, Jesus deliberately goes against the flow of rabbis' teaching. As though he's making an issue out of it, as indeed he was. Because so long as people are weary and heavy laden with the human-generated, human-authored rules and regulations, they'll always feel guilty about not managing 100%. Whereas Jesus came to set people free. As long as we're bound to human religion, we'll always feel frustrated, defeated, and out of favour with God. Because as soon as you keep half a dozen rules, there'll be another half dozen added. God's intention was the Son would come and liberate us from all that binds and shackles us in this life and give us the glory of 100% assurance of acceptance with God through the work of Christ upon the cross. Those who try to carry the extra baggage and say, well, I can manage it. You know, I've managed it for 50 years. I can manage it for another 20. Will always be found using their mental, spiritual, and emotional strength for unobtainable and, from God's point of view, undesirable goals. Legalism destroys life. And when we focus on religious practices rather than relationship to Jesus, we'll miss out on the joy and the delight that is his plan for us. We'll always undervalue the preciousness of the grace that saves us, not because we've ticked enough boxes, but because Christ has fulfilled all the demands of the law for his people. When I try and keep man-made stuff, I'm denying that Christ satisfied God on my behalf on the cross. So he's redirecting people away from that culture, saying that's the excess baggage and you need to unpack it. You need to get rid of it. No point saying, well, I can pay excess baggage rate or I can carry it on board with me. It needs to be dealt with radically. And thirdly, the offer that Jesus makes. And it comes in four parts, but you haven't got four more sermons to wait. Four simple thoughts, and yet each of them is brilliantly put by Jesus. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And the word he uses is really interesting. About 200 years before Jesus was born, the Jews found themselves in a position that most ordinary everyday Jews didn't speak Hebrew anymore, but their Bible was in Hebrew. So they decided to translate the Hebrew into Greek, everyday Greek that ordinary folks could understand. But they had a problem when it came to Sabbath. The Greeks didn't have a word for Sabbath, obviously. This is the word that they chose to use. It meant like a piece of ground, a piece of land was laid fallow by the farmer. It wasn't going to be used for that year. It was rested. So that's the word that Jesus uses here in this context of rabbis who are really hot on Sabbath keeping. And Jesus says, you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you Sabbath. I will give you real rest. I'll take that burdensome stuff off you and you will find real Sabbath in me. Second thing he offers them is teaching. Verse 29 again, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. Again, it's a fully loaded word. That word is translated learn. It's the word from which we get the word disciple. And so what Jesus is saying is, don't go to these other sources of discipleship. Come to me and let me disciple you. And how does he encourage that? Because I am meek and lowly in heart. His style of teaching is not the oppressive, burdensome laying on of people with a million rules and regulations that are beyond our ability to keep. Come, says, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your soul. Thirdly, he offers them a yoke. The imagery of a yoke comes out of the agricultural world of his day, where this wooden contraption was put on to two oxen so that shackled by this yoke, each ox would keep the other working, and each ox would keep them working in a straight line. And the Jews had taken that picture and they said, what God wants is to yoke ourselves to the law. What it meant is all our rules and regulations. You put yourself in that contraption alongside the law, and that'll keep you on the straight and narrow. So what does Jesus say? Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy. Word that has the connotation of being tailor-made. It fits you perfectly. Take my yoke upon you. Put yourself in harness with me, says Jesus. Don't try and put yourself in harness with other people, let alone their rules and regulations. But tie yourself, yoke yourself, partner with me. For he knows the pace he wants us to go. He knows the direction he wants us to go. Fourthly, there's a load that we need as well. My load, my burden, says Jesus, is light. It's easy to carry. When we yoke to Jesus, he gives each individual just the right amount of weight to carry in our lifetime. If you decide tomorrow morning that you need to get a bit fitter and you'd like to start into weightlifting, and you go down to the gym and you employ a personal trainer and say, you know, I really want to build the muscles up for show. They put the weight on the bar. Now, they'll not put on 200 kilograms to start you off, unless your name is Stephen Knox, obviously. They might not even put 20 kilos on. They'll talk to you, they'll examine you, and they say, actually, I think about 2 kilograms, all you guys can measure. But they'll give you a weight tailored individually to what you can manage. And that's a picture that Jesus is giving here. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. My burden is easy, my burden is light. What I'll ask you to do is tailor-made for you in your situation, at your stage of life, what I know you can manage. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what Christ does for his people. His expectation of each and every Christian is different because he treats us individually. And it's different at different stages of our lives because we can carry different stuff from him at different stages of our lives. Paul has that lovely reference to meat being offered to idols in the idol temple. And he says, you know what? There's some Christians who could handle it, and for them it's not wrong to eat it. And there's some Christians who can't handle it, and it's wrong for them to try and eat it. What's of faith matters. What's out of your relationship with Jesus is what matters. And that's the offer Jesus makes to those who call upon him today. A yoke that's tailor-made, a burden that's light and suited to your capabilities as he knows you best. We need to hear Jesus this morning to get rid of our excess baggage. Identify what it is, where it came from, who invented it. But most of all, get rid of it. Lighten the load. John Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, has that brilliant moment recorded when he sees a sinful person coming to the foot of the cross, and he writes this way: so I saw my dream that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosed from off his shoulders and fell from off his back, and it began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of his sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. If you're here this morning, weary and heavy laden, burdened with trying to keep all the religious practices and customs and rules and regulations that you've been brought up with, that you think are required of you, then you're asked to come today and put that burden in the sepulchre. Deal with it. For Christ gets excited when his people are free to serve him. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. A word of prayer, and then we're going to sing again. Father, we are surrounded in our province and our society with all kinds of religious customs, religious practices, religious pundits, ideas that perhaps have no ground at all in your word. Give us discernment to know those things and to remove them as excess baggage from our hearts today, we pray. And may we devote ourselves to that yoke of Christ, that load of Christ, in which we find true joy and delight. Amen.